Well, good evening. You guys braved the weather, did you?
Right. Well, I hope you all had a good afternoon. I spent a little time with Spencer and Amanda, my wife and I, and we had a great time at lunch. And they may have gotten me into trouble tonight. We'll know at the end of the sermon. Because Amanda came up with a neat title for a sermon. If I heard it right, she said, "When bad news is good news." We were talking about something that took place today. This morning, I came here and I was really excited, really zealous, because somebody that Sharon and I, a family that we had studied with Friday night, said they were coming. And oftentimes when people say they're coming to me, we realize that they're just blowing smoke because we don't see them. Very seldom does anybody ever actually show up. And I think of it as they sound really hot and excited when you're talking to them. And I'm always saying, "I think they're going to come. I think they're going to." Sharon says, "No, they're not coming." But this time she said, "Yeah, they're coming." They didn't make it. And I thought to myself, boy, I just hope that it's not water being poured on their zealousness, because she was really excited about being here. But I got a text while I was at the table at lunch. Let me read the text to you. She said, "I wish I had." She said, "Hello, Dave. I just wanted to let you know that I had full intentions of going to church today, but I actually just got home from the hospital. I had stomach pain that kept me getting worse. Kept getting worse yesterday. Finally, I stopped being stubborn and I went to the emergency room, and I'm glad I did because I had an appendicitis, and they had to remove it with emergency surgery." Isn't that the best news you ever heard? I mean, I don't mean that when she had to have an emergency appendectomy that was good news. The good news is that it took an appendix bursting or infected in order to keep her from being here. And I think that's awesome. And I'm believing, because she sent me the text, that she's going to come back. That's great news. And sometimes bad news like that can turn into good news in your mind, because it turns out for the good. So, it's just something I wanted to turn into a lesson, and this is what I had come up with. I'd like to use something that took place in the history of Israel back in what's called the Divided Kingdom. This is back, 931 BC, and I want to show sometimes how bad news can become good news. And so I want you to be thinking in terms of this, and think about bad news becoming good news. Back in this time, the nation of Israel was divided into two parts: the kingdom of Israel to the north, and Samaria as its capital; the kingdom of Judah to the south, and for its capital, Jerusalem. And the weakened condition of both the kingdoms became a real problem. It left them open for attacks from other countries like Syria and Moab and Ammon and so others, Babylon and so on. And so they were weak, and they were in a terrible state. And we read of the siege, if we look at 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 through 29, and we read about Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and how he had orchestrated a siege upon this city in Samaria, and he brought a terrible famine on these poor people. And so among those suffering from the famine were four lepers, and we want to read about these four lepers today. And so we want to turn our Bibles over to 2 Kings, and we're going to start in chapter 7 of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7, and we're going to read from verses 3 and a little further down. Just get a gist for this. It says, "Now," and realize we have this famine. I mentioned the famine. People are eating themselves. They're eating people. I mean, they're eating, they're starving to death, and they're eating their donkeys and the donkeys' heads, and it's just a terrible time. And even people are selling their children to be eaten, and it's just horrible. So in verse 3, now there were four lepers, men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there, and if we sit here, we shall also die. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Assyrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. Now, in this particular case, the bad news was, no matter what they did, they figured they were going to die. But it really turned out good for them, because they went, and these Syrians, they just weren't there. In verse 6, it says, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. It's getting better. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went in to one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and they went and hid themselves, and then they came back and entered another tent and carried from there also, and went in and hid it. And then they said to one another, now this is where it really builds up here. Verse 9, when they said to one another, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So they went, and they called the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, we went to Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tried, and the tents intact. And verse 11, and the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household. These four lepers, something bad turned into something good, but they didn't want to keep it to themselves. They were doing something there. They decided that it would be wrong, because this day is a day of good news. This day is a day of good news. And so I want to think through this, and I want to look at three things for us to consider as we read through this. And as we're doing this, just remember their plight, verses 3 and 4. Remember what they went through, their surprise when they found the camp abandoned. And think about at first that they just plundered and splurged. But then upon reflection, and that's when it really, the big thing happened on the reflection there in verses 9 through 11. They realized this is a really good day. There's great news this day, and we need to share that. It's wrong for us not to say anything. And even though this was a day when men ran in defeat, God had defeated and frightened those Syrians, and it was turned out to be a day of good news for these four lepers. So, three things. The parallels to then and now for us, the consequences or the cost of keeping silent, and why many do, in fact, keep silent then and now. So we'll begin the parallels. We want to kind of stretch this out a little bit. In each case, there is there's a famine, both then and now. Follow me along. Then there was a physical famine. The people starved for food, and like we know what happened there, that people were giving their children over to be eaten. That was then. Now, what is the famine now? What's going on now? It's a famine for the blessings that only God can provide. Back then it was food. Today, it's the blessings from God. In other words, our famine is related to the problem of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's something that only those blessings from God can fulfill. And some people were struggling with that. And yet God provides the free gift, Romans 6 and 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so in each of these cases, there is a famine. Back then it was physical food, today it's spiritual. There's a world out there that's dying spiritually because there's a famine going on. They're being indulged by all kinds of sin and error, but that's the famine that's going on out in the world. And again, in each case, there is an abundance freely available, right around the corner. You know, it's there. Theirs was that plenty of food that was in that Syrian camp. They got in there and they had everything they needed. They were refreshed. They had all the food and drink they needed, and they had jewels and even the weapons. They had it all. And so their famine ended. Now, we have the same kind of food spiritually in Christ Jesus through His Word. Through our obedience to the gospel, we can be fed. And we can find salvation. We can find life. Because it's abundant for us today. Especially for us who have experienced the joys of salvation. And so there's a parallel there. But here is where the parallel stops. This is where there's a difference in the similarities, and it ends. The lepers knew what was right, and they did it. Remember that in verse 9? Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent." And we remained silent. They knew they would be wrong by keeping silent. They knew that punishment would befall them if they kept the good news to themselves. So they went back to the city and they told the gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers told the information got all the way back to the king. That's exciting. Because so they went back. They told the good news. But the sad truth is that too many Christians today aren't like those lepers. There are way too many Christians who are not like the lepers. There's too many Christians who don't recognize this is a day of good news. This day, every day that we live and breathe, is a day of good news. And despite every day being a day of good news, too many of us are silent. Too many of us don't go and run and tell people, here's some good news. The nourishment that you need for your soul is right here. You cannot starve spiritually. We have what you need right here. And often, too often, Christians feast on the Word of God. Some Christians, every day, feasting on the Word of God, filling themselves with the precious words of God, the life-saving, saving, soul-saving words of God. And then all the while, their neighbors and friends are dying of spiritual starvation. You see, the parallel ended because those lepers got up and they went right away and they said, "Hey, this is a day of good news. We got to go tell people." And we need to be doing that. Because this every day that we have to live, that God graces us with, is a day of good news. And so there's a separation there of what's going on. Why? I mean, how is it possible? I think it's because many times we just don't simply recognize that not saying something is wrong. In reasoning among themselves, they considered the consequences of what would happen if they kept silent this day of good news. That's what they did. Have we considered the consequences of what happens if we keep silent about the good news of Jesus Christ, about the good news of the salvation of souls, about the good news right here in the Gospels? And as we venture down here, we realize our second point is that there's a cost of keeping silent. It's not free. There's a cost. Think about this with me. If we fail to keep that great commission, if we fail to do that, what is the great commission? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. What does he say? He says, go out into all the world making disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go out into the world, make disciples of men. How can you do that? You do that by feeding them the spiritual food that they need. That's how you do that. And that's a command. We need to be doing that. There's a cost if we don't keep the command. There's a cost if we don't do that. Jesus wanted his disciples to observe all that he commanded. And it includes the commandment to go. So keeping silent is absolutely in contrast to doing what Jesus wants us to do. And if we fail our mission as a people of God, well, there's nothing good going to come of that. Look at your book in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter writes, but you are a chosen people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Listen to that. Think of that, especially in regards to the words, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think of the words, who had not obtained mercy and now have obtained mercy. His own special people. How can we be his own special people, called out of darkness into the marvelous light, having obtained mercy, and be quiet about this great day with really great news? The truth is that we'll answer to God for failing our mission. Just as Jesus and Ezekiel, or just as God, rather, told Ezekiel, who he made to be what? A watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3. And verse 17, let me look here. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning for me. You see that? He's a watchman. And we read verses 18 and following. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, you're giving him no warning. You're not redirecting them to save his own life. That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Those lepers had something going for them. They could have stayed there and gotten rich. They could have got all that food up and gone back to the gate and said, hey, we have food, who's got money? But they didn't. They didn't do that, did they? Today is a day of good news. And Ezekiel goes on here, we read, yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Verse 20, how does that happen? You turn, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, God puts a stumbling block before him. It's not your responsibility anymore. You've saved your soul. You delivered your soul. And now, think of the righteous man. When you are baptized into Christ, you become the righteousness. Your sins are washed away. You're righteous in the eyes of God through Christ's blood. And in verse 20, in the latter part, he says, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. This is this is a day of good news. We become righteous and then we don't do anything with it. It's no longer, the news is still good, but even what we did do right is not going to be remembered by God. There's a cost if we fail the mission of God. Today, members of the church, in a sense, are God's watchmen. We're out looking for the souls that are lost in the world, and we are to take the gospel to every person, Mark 16:15. We're to go out into all the world, preach to every creature. And we need to do that. Those who have not heard, they'll die in their own sin. You're not responsible for them. But we will be held accountable if we give them no warning. Can you imagine living next to a neighbor who's not a Christian and never ever saying a word to him, knowing for years and years and years that that person's lost in their sin? I can't fathom that. You are no longer responsible. All you have to do is tell them about the salvation in Christ. You tell them one time, it's no longer on your shoulders. And we can't be quiet about such things. And despite the consequence of keeping silent, many Christians continue to avoid sharing about the good news of Jesus. And we got to ask the question, why? Why do so many people keep silent? Possibly, it's because they're starving themselves. Is that possible? Are we not eating of the spiritual food like we should? And we don't feel comfortable having a discussion or an argument about it, so we are afraid to talk to our neighbors. We think maybe they'll know more than we do. Maybe their argument's better than my argument. Is that possible? In 2 Peter that we read, I'll just go back there real quick here. 2 Peter And he has in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." You got the Bible in your hand there? Open it up to the book of Psalm, chapter 32. This is David. David says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, though through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into dough or drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely a flood of great waters, they shall not come to hear him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse and like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed and bit with bit and bridle, as they will not come near to you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice your righteousness, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Don't let yourself be starved. Consider prayer. Consider the word and be filled up so that you have that strength that you need. And also, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Some people don't speak on behalf of the Lord out of fear or of discouragement. In Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8, remember what he says? "But the cowardly, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." That's the second death. Don't fear. Don't be cowardly. He said there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, "God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind." We can't accept that I'm afraid. He said, "Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Share with me in my sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." We can't be that way. We need to be like those four lepers. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 29, "Lord, look at their threats and grant your servants," he says, "boldness, that they may" what? "Speak your word." Fear just doesn't cut it. And also, in that sense, you can pray Ephesians chapter 6, 9 through 12. You can pray. Utterance can be given. And you can make prayer. You can make known the mystery of the gospel. And when you do that, you ought to speak as you should speak the oracles of God. Speak as you ought to speak. Don't grow weary. One more scripture there for you. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. I mean, listen to this. Romans 12. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." That would be fear, right? That would be worry about people knowing more than you. Lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We haven't resisted the bloodshed. None of us. Haven't done it. I need you. Just think. This is a great day. It's a really good day today. And it only gets better when somebody obeys the gospel. It only gets better when we release the weight that is upon us by saying, I haven't ever talked to anybody, by talking to somebody. And then we know that we're faithful, and that we're not responsible for that soul anymore. Brethren, if we're silent in regards to the good news of the gospel, I believe sincerely that when the words of the four lepers, that'll become true for us. If we're silent. They said that if we're silent, we're going to die. Some terrible thing will happen. What did they say? We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and if we remain silent, if we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Don't wait for morning's light. Don't do it. Let's go and tell the world. A world that is spiritually starving, about the feast that God offers, the invitation that Jesus offers. Let us share it with others. Let them experience the joy and the peace and the love that only God can give. Indeed, this is a day of good news, because it is the day of salvation. Right? No one should receive the grace of God in vain. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's a day of good news. It's a day of salvation. You know, we've been so richly blessed by accepting the responsibility of Christ that He has placed on us, our fervor. Don't let it die down. We should remember the words of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Revelation 2 and 4. Don't leave your first love. The day of the Lord will be good news and bad news when it comes. On that great and awesome day, it'll be bad news if the opportunity to come to Jesus is overlooked or overpassed. It'll be bad news if the faithful don't express the opportunities and the food of God and feed that precious word of God. It'll be a bad day. Are you subject to the invitation? Do you have a need to repent? Do you have a need to be baptized? We're here today. The good news is that you can turn it all around today as we stand and as we sing.